As usual, we're having trouble with the room being too warm. So those of you who prefer to remove excess sport coats and things like that, please do so, because I think I will before too long. I would hate to be the only one. So excuse the warmth. They're trying to have the air handling system boosted, but this is at the very far end of the airlines for the building, and it's the one room that gets too warm. So since many of you, I think, are here for the first time for one of the local history roundtables, let me tell you a little bit about where they come from and why they are what they are. But when I came to the library 3 years ago, Nell Carpenter said, it's time that we started asking people to come down and talk into the tape recorder about what they're doing and what they've done. And at the same time, we thought, why not have it fun? And so we began asking groups to come in and reminisce about the various aspects of the past history of Champaign County. And at the same time, we tape recorded them, and now we're slowly beginning to transcribe them. So if you want to see any of the past ones, it won't be too long before we have some of them in print. It's the secretary does it whenever she has a spare moment, so it tends to be a very erratic transcribing effort. But the Local History Roundtable is designed to record for the future what happened in Urbana and in Champaign County, and the topics vary a great deal from time to time. The format is always informal. We ask the experts to come and tell us what happened, and Barbara Roberts asks questions, they raise questions, you can raise questions, you can object, you can decide it really wasn't that way and tell it a different way, and in general we try to be as informal as we can. At the end of the session we will run about an hour and a half, and at the end of that we will have coffee and cookies or something, and you'll see it on the table back there. We've been doing a lot of rushing around because we managed to burn out the power cord in one of the coffee pots, which convinces me we should have arranged to have somebody bring it over here instead. But it's right now, I suspect. I don't know if you can hustle it up in 3-4 minutes. So at any rate, I think we'll be ready for that. At 8:45, you will hear, as I have warned you in the past, a disembodied voice telling you to leave the library. This does not mean us. We will stay as long as we please, and I urge you to do so. If you want to stay around and keep talking all night, we'll keep the building open all night for you. So there's no need to leave at any fixed time. And one thing I'm very pleased about is that Mr. Phillips is here tonight. He was for many, many years president of the library board, and I think this is the first time in the building since we finished the remodeling. Is it not? So I'm particularly glad to see him here. And I've been trying to show off building to him in the last half hour or so. But he was for many years president of the board of directors of the library. The archives has a couple projects that we're working on that I want to tell you about while you're a captive audience. One of these is we're reprinting the old map along the wall there. I think many of you know about this. We haven't started running the presses yet because we're still hunting for acid-free paper big enough. But we don't want to produce a map that's going to rot in 20 years and be fragile and falling apart. But we hope to have these ready by Christmas time, and it will cost about $3.50, I think. The trouble is the paper is pushing up now toward $1 a sheet, unprinted, and that gets expensive. A second printing project we're working on is we are printing in one volume the 1893, 1913, and 1929 atlases and plat books of Champaign County. And this will be a pretty massive volume, probably an inch and a half thick. And we'll reproduce every page, including all the old advertisements and the indexes and everything else. So if you had family that owned farmland or anything else recognizable in this area, you may get a real kick out of owning the book. And the price of pre-publication will be about $17, and the books will be delivered in January. If you want to buy one, a gift certificate is available too, so you can let people know you're giving it to them even though we don't have them yet. They're being produced by a firm called Unigraphic in Evansville, Indiana, that specializes in reproducing old historic books, and they do a very, very nice job. So I think it's going to be a nice publication. We're adding to it a photocopy of the famous 1863 map of Champaign County, which exists in one copy in the British Museum in London, and why we don't know. Gene Evans, our other archivist, tried to talk them out of it, but they wouldn't give it to us. So it's still in England. And a couple other historic bird's eye views of the two towns and so on. So it should be an interesting publication. One last thing is that Jimmy Withers has brought over quite a run of his father's publication, Maine and Broadway, during World War II. And we have 9 issues here, and I think it would be great if there any were missing that we could get complete the set. And if you won't give them up, would you be willing to loan them to us so we can Xerox them for our collection? But this is a very interesting part of the history of the community, and we're very happy to have them in the collection. And it'd be nice if we're missing issues, if we could fill in the gaps. So we have Volume 1, numbers 1 through 3, and Volume 2, numbers 1 through 6. And there have got to be more than that, he says, because his father wrote one every month. So we're looking for them. And if you know of any, if you have any in your attic, this would be a great thing you could do for us to help fill in the set.
His father wrote a book about what he knew about politics. You ought to have it, too.
Do we have it?
No.
Well, it's all the pages are blank, but it's a good book.
Yeah. One thing I noticed in here, I was going to ask somebody, Barb didn't know, we thought we'd ask the captive audience. In the very first one, see, your father's store had a pool table in there, or 2 pool tables?
4.
Okay. At any rate, who was Shotgun? He said that Red Stowe and Shotgun were playing. We thought we'd better find out.
Earl Winchester.
I should have known that.
Shotgun Winchester.
Yeah. And who are Sams and Sandy?
Gene Sams. Sandy. I don't know if it's Sandy.
The Clarence Sandy worked for us in the store.
A.D. Buck, it could be, I don't know.
But, wouldn't have been the younger.
Buck? Was he in there?
Yeah, but they,
He had a whole bunch of names, I don't know.
There was one they called the Old Stag, in capitals.
That applied a lot of them.
Well, the Old Stag was the name of the store.
Huh?
Oh, the old, maybe that was, he was referring to the name of the store. That could be. Okay.
I think so.
All right. We've answered those questions. This is more preamble than usual, but I will turn it over to Barb Roberts, who will introduce the panel, who you all know already, I think, and we'll begin.
First, a couple of things. I'll have to say tell you all that today is Fred's birthday. I think some of those that race in realize that today. We've been celebrating, and we think it's very nice that he's spending the evening with us.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear friend. Happy birthday to you.
I think it'd be appropriate at this time to say that the chickens on their birthday, you paid for the coffee, so.
Oh, well.
He did today.
He did. But good. I think cake.
Fred, I hear all the people singing to me. But listen, another thing.
Oh, I think it's mellowed. It ain't as loud.
I should tell you, for a birthday card, they all signed the bill. But they didn't mean they were going to pay it.
I hope you have this on tape.
Unfortunately, yes.
Okay, so now we have the voices, too, the singing voices of the chickens and friends. Okay, and another thing, the coffee is Sanka. It's not the real stuff. So, we wouldn't want to keep anybody up. You may not enjoy it as much.
I brought my own bottle up.
Well, okay, we'll take care of it. You can take care of that.
We're trying not to keep anybody awake.
Well, we want to keep them awake. I don't think we're going to have to worry about keeping them awake for the next hour and a half or so. Okay, well, I think you all know these people without an introduction, but on your left, just to the right of Fred, is Les Slade, who is the proprietor of Race Inn. And next to him is Oscar Steer, who had a grocery store in Urbana, and I want them to tell more about this too throughout the evening. And next to him is Mr. Mal Hickman, who is an accountant in Urbana, and he lives. His office is next door to the library here.
Mister.
Did you notice that?
I want
you
to get didn't that. I say Mr. Oscar Steer?
No, you didn't.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I'm hurt.
I erase Mr. Mal Hickman.
Hickman. By all means.
I think that Oscar Steer maybe should have had an Abner there in parentheses.
That's the term we usually use.
Okay. All
Lum will be next.
Yes, all right. And then we have Mr. Les Lum Corey. And then to his right, we have Mr. Roy Horn.
Left.
My left.
Your left. Okay. To their right.
Your right.
Or going around to the right. Okay. Mr. Roy Horn.
We understood what you meant.
Okay. Now he lives in Champaign.
Oh, we had several Champaign members.
Oh, you did?
Oh,
okay.
Yes.
All right.
And this is four of the original five. Harry Baker completed the original five.
I'm so glad that we could get them all here tonight. Yes. Yes, Hal Bigler was the other one of the five.
Harry,
excuse me.
The father of Hal.
That's right.
Right.
Yes. Okay, well, listen, let's start out with Les down there. When did you get into this restaurant business?
Well, it's been long, many years ago, about 35. And to explain how this chicken group come together here, I think Mr. Groninger wrote this. I don't know when this was written up and that, but I'm going to read it to you here. I think it explains the whole thing.
Okay.
It says, the name came from a man. And that was result of a brainstorm of the late David Godfrey, a grocery friend of Mr. Stairs. Actually, a name is a game, and the loser pays for the coffee and rolls for everyone. It's not a gambling game, Stairs said with a grin. It's in the honor of pain. How it works is a mystery to infrequent guests. And boy, there was, I don't know how it happened, but many a times we had guests and they got stuck. I don't know why, how it happened, but it did.
You got to run a good chair.
But the initiated had little trouble in playing and pain. The charter members were Harry Bigler, businessman and former postmaster, Lum Corey, another businessman, Mel Hickman, and Oscar Steer. And I guess he left out Mr. Horn here because he'd been with the group as long as I can remember.
Yep, he was one of the five. Only he was there twice a week because that's when he was here.
And
he
said, but Mr. Slade provided the place and the flavor. I don't know what the flavor was. But
sometimes it wasn't so good.
that tells you how it really got started and everything.
Does anybody remember the year, or is that?
Yes.
Oh, did it say that?
39.
Was it 39?
Yes, I have.
Well, he has a record.
Well, I got two books missing, composition books for 39 and 40. We actually started late in 37 or early in 38, but we didn't keep records until 1939.
Well, now, at that time, this was the Alley Inn, then, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's back in the Alley Inn, right?
Sure. Yes.
So that was across the street.
Across the street behind the Embassy Tavern.
I see. Okay, and we have one picture up here of the originals, and that was taken in the Alley Inn. And so then you started the race in...
after we come back from World War II.
I see. So that was about 1946 or approximately then. Yeah. Did you folks meet
at
interim during...
We met in the community building.
I see.
We rented it for an hour each day, and Mrs. Boyd, we hired her to prepare the coffee, wash the dishes, and for serve the rolls and so forth. And for 2 years, wasn't it?
2 years.
And we're fortunate in having her here tonight. I'm glad to see her.
Well, I think this is just great.
So we never stopped business. Of course, sometimes it wasn't too good a business, but then we never stopped.
Well, who originally thought up this?
It was Oscar here. See, as
yours.
I said, he brought it from B-Man.
Well, what did you do? Did you nail the first person that you saw that day or to be one of the chickens?
No. We had several salesmen. J.T. Wilcox is probably one of the best. He'd go out on the street and bring them in.
I see. Okay. So you brought them in for coffee, and okay. Then, ordinarily, you didn't have a birthday every day.
Oh, no, not very, too often, but then...
Okay, but who paid otherwise if you weren't celebrating?
Well, chicken game.
The chicken, okay, now then let's just give it a demonstration on how this chicken game works.
All right. You it?
You it.
You go, who's the last one in?
Yeah.
You have to know who's the last
one. Yeah, you have to. You determine
I was the last
who
one
the
to
last
sit down.
One comes in.
All right. All right, chickens. Okay. Come to roost.
21. Did you have any?
I wasn't playing.
Well, 21, and there's how many here?
Five.
You start with Mr. Hickman.
There's six.
Six
of us. 24, 23, 22, 21.
Oh, she
played. Oh, Roy gets stuck.
Well, that's nice.
He was the last one in.
They used to holler when I got stuck. Champagne money.
Yeah.
Oh,
I see.
Oscar would be 18, 19, 20, and 21 if you count clockwise.
I see. Okay, so it was someone.
There's no way of rigging the game because you had five fingers to adjust it. See?
I see.
Mel, why not have him read the rules of the game, and then they'll understand it better.
Okay.
He can read better than I can, no.
The rules for playing Chickens Come Home to Roost. Each participant has five chickens, the thumb and four fingers on each hand. Well, wait a minute. That doesn't read well. The thumb and four fingers on one hand.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
When the leader calls for the roosting...
Says one hand.
Yes,
if
I
you just read it.
My bifocals here. When the leader calls for the roosting of the chicken, each player roosts his choice of one to five fingers on the edge of the table. The leader then counts the number of fingers, or chickens, that are roosted on the edge of the table. Having established the total number, the leader then counts each player around the table, the last player to arrive being number one, until he reaches the total number of chickens that were roosted. That person is not the loser, but rather he wins the honor of paying.
That's correct. I had to do that twice to two preachers. They wouldn't play till we told them what it was all about. This is not a gambling game.
Well, of course not.
Well, that's the rules.
Okay, how many, did you have a certain number that could sit there each day, or did everybody just, whoever happened to
come?
I went through the books just at random, and I didn't get every year. But the roster for the month, I just took a month out of most of the years. It ran 28, 35. Now, those are regular attendance. I don't mean they're there every day,
yeah.
But 47, 52. 45, 34, 35, 33, 35, 30, 37, 38, 32, and 30. Now, those were names that were registered as regular attendants.
I see. What time of the day did this?
Well, we started in at 9:30, wasn't it?
10:30.
We kind of kept creeping around the clock. We got up to 10:15. Well, those boys got it, you know, a little... better off when they come later to work.
So you had to change the time. Okay. Where did you serve all these people, Les? That table of yours back there now wouldn't hold them all.
Well, in the race in, they met in the back room there. We seat 40 people back there, and they sat back there.
But they sat at the booths?
Yeah, in the back room there.
One of these pictures is here was out in front. On my 48th birthday, they had 48 there, and I remember that damn well.
Yeah. Yeah, you ought to. Did I match a double or nothing that day?
I don't remember. I expect we did.
Now, did you serve something besides coffee? I mean, did you pay for something besides coffee?
Well, originally, back in the Alley Inn, they started out, and, I don't know, somebody decided that they was going to have a little something special in that. And they try to think up different things to have. And
that's for birthdays.
For birthdays, see. And they'd bring in rabbits for me to cook up and chickens and all different things like that. And they'd have them. And After a while, that kind of died. It got kind of expensive.
Well, that's it. That's the reason we quit.
Yeah, that's why they quit.
So we said then they couldn't buy anything but coffee.
Yeah, it got out of hand.
35 people, yeah. That's
but coffee kind of and cake and that, we they had to restrict it. To
originally, when coffee was a nickel a cup,
yeah.
It paid for all the coffee.
All the coffee.
And later on, as the crowd got bigger and the price of coffee went up, we'd play more times than one. So nobody got stuck enough to bankruptcy.
Yeah. I see. Okay.
Well, the limit for quite a while was 50 cents.
Yeah.
Mr. Horn, I forgot to ask you, were you in business here in Urbana, or?
I was a salesman for the Isaac Grocery Company.
I see.
That's how I came. I was calling on Oscar, my good friend over the years,
mm-hmm.
and he invited me to join the chicken, or that morning as a charter member when we started, and I happened to be there. Mm-hmm. So I was calling on Oscar, and he said, you better come go with us and go have coffee. So. Didn't get to go very much. Later years, my work took me out of town, so mm-hmm. I haven't been active in the club for a good many years because my work took me out of town. Mm-hmm. I wasn't able to get over it. I still feel it an honor and a privilege to have been a charter member of the Oregon Club.
I should say so. How many chickens do we have in the audience? We have quite a few. Oh my goodness, yes.
Have them.
Quite a few. I can even see a female or so around.
That,
we've
had a few.
Yeah.
Mrs. Gwynn, Annabelle.
Annabelle.
Mm-hmm. Annabelle's here, by the way, Mrs. Smalsey. Yeah. And,
didn't Ruth,
yeah.
Citizens Building, didn't she come quite a bit?
No.
No, I thought she
no.
Did. Ruth Jones.
But there were, during the war, there were several reporters who were of the other gender, and they came regularly. I think that's the way Annabelle got started, if I remember right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure you must have sung happy birthday to each.
Oh, never made it.
Okay, what were some of the other festivities?
Well, they pulled a lot of pranks were pulled.
Okay.
I don't remember
back
that.
In the race in, I think everybody remembers Eddie Jaquin, the
yes,
newspaper man.
Yes.
Eddie was scared to death of snakes. So one day,
we didn't know it.
Where we got the little snake, I think the prank was originally for Earl Carson.
Yes.
That was scared to death of snakes.
Hard Eater Scott store. Had
and
a shipment of roses. And he brought that little snake
little
down.
Snake.
He brought that
real
along.
Real live snake. So he hollowed out this bun, and we put this snake in there and pulled it up, and we set it out on the table. And Earl Carson went to bite into this thing, and some reason or other, he opened his bun out, and here this live snake jumped up, and Eddie Jaquin was up on top of the table.
He went right over the back of the chair on the table behind him.
He was scared of
that. Never touched
the
thing. And he did it a second time.
Not like he's on spring.
Okay, now we're getting started here. Let's
There's a little little more to that story.
Okay. All right, go ahead, Oscar.
Okay.
Earl Carson was running the Grabbit here at that time. And he came down to Busey's Bank once in the morning, once in the afternoon. They always stop in, past the time of day or something else. And he stopped this particular day, and this is the first we knew that he was scared of snakes. And we were chatting there, so I walked in the back room and I just got an empty sack and blew it up, folded it over, and I come out carrying that thing. Well, I had a big oak screen door on the front door, and he took that right off the hinges. And I didn't have nothing but an empty sack. So it was a little expensive, but I got it fixed.
Al Hickman's allergic to apple butter, too.
Huh? Yeah. Well, I had his hair coming there for a while. Chocolate cupcakes. Chris would make them, and I'd smear them on there, and it was coming. But he stopped the treatments, and I couldn't guarantee anything after that.
What about this apple butter?
That's a story that I think that if there was any time that I was ready to kill a person, I think it was the time that Earl Carson smeared the apple butter on top of my head. All right. But anyhow, just to go back just a little bit of reminiscing, I come to Urbana. I previously was a resident of Champaign when my folks had a grocery store in Champaign, and that's when I first got acquainted with Roy Horn, was when my folks was in the grocery business in Champaign.
Where was their store, Mal?
Their store was first started out right next to the Royal Cleaners on Green Street. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a little, well, I don't know what's in there at the present time. And then we later moved the store down to 404 East Green Street, bought out a man by the name of Ben Crackle's grocery store. Yeah. And that was next to the, Tom Marlowe had his boot shop. It's the grocery store up until just a few years ago was still in operation, but that's when I become acquainted with Roy, and that's back in 1932-33 is when Roy started calling on my folks.
He was just a little boy.
I was just a little boy.
Yeah,
yes. And of course, after I graduated from the university, I left the community and come back to Urbana as secretary of the Urbana Chamber of Commerce, or the Urbana Association of Commerce. And that was I come here as secretary in September of 1938. The reason why I'm bringing that up was the fact how close Oscar actually hit the time so far as when the chickens actually was organized. And it was in the fall of 1938 is when, mm-hmm. because Oscar Steer and Harry Bigler and Lum Corey and Mark Brown was on the selection committee to find a new secretary for the Association of Commerce, and they were the interviewing committee. And I was honored of being selected as the secretary of the Association of Commerce, and
we didn't have any other candidate.
Yes, you did. You had another candidate. Yes, you had. Mark Brown, you remember?
Oh, yeah, that's.
But anyhow, they were the ones that naturally I become first acquainted with in the community, and naturally I felt that as being their acquaintance, I sort of grew fairly close to them. And shortly after that, and I'm not just saying this, but I want to pay a great deal of respect to a person that I personally feel a great deal of gratitude, the honor of knowing him. And I want to go on record as paying tribute to Enos Phillips. I think he is one of the greatest individuals that I've had the honor of knowing. I really mean it. Mark Brown and I and the rest of the so-called original group, how many of you remember where the alley inn was? All right. How many of you remember the number of grocery stores that was downtown in 1938? How many remembers Wallace and Davis's grocery store? How many? Well, there you are. You see, a lot of the old timers. I mean, and of course, we're all old timers, I suppose. How many remember the steps?
You are old, because there was Wally Davis, not Wally and Davis.
Well, Wallace and Davis.
Wasn't that Palmer and Davis?
Palmer and Davis. Right. Palmer and Davis.
Wally
right.
Davis is one same.
Yeah. Palmer and Davis.
Yeah.
Lon Palmer and Wally Davis. That is correct. And the Grab It Here store that's Hyan? Earl Rand.
He later had a candy store, didn't he?
Yes, he had,
oh, yeah.
He had a candy store, right?
Too.
Yeah.
Steer was but,
Slack and Bloom.
Yeah. Where yes, Whitaker's are.
But getting to the apple butter situation, if you really want to know about that, yeah, put it off as long as you can. I don't know why, but we was having, I think it was one of the chickens groupings, and this is after Les had moved to his present location. And Earl was a prankster of the nth degree. And and I think he still has it, still does it, but at that time, Les would serve apple butter on these little patties and have it all around the table. And as I recall, I don't know what brought the thing up, but Earl Carson got up a little bit early and left. And I was sitting on the end, and he took one of those patties, and I think there was more than one, because after I fell up there, it felt like there was more. But he took one of those patties and just spread it all over the top of my head.
He spread it well, that's all.
And
I'll beep if you'll say what you said at that point.
Well, I tell you, honestly, I think I said things that I should have retracted. But just like I mentioned a while ago, that was one of the few times, and I don't lose my temper very often, but that was the one time that I really lost it.
That's what Billy Martin said.
Yeah. And poor Earl, I think that he went out of that race and faster than he has moved in years.
Not a snake deal. He took my door off.
But anyhow, he did come back later on and walked in my office and brought me some peanut clusters, because he knew that I liked peanut clusters. And that was the way that he got back in good graces. I tell you, he brought me a pound of those peanut clusters. And he said, Hickman, he says, I've never seen a man so mad, so quick, as you did when I put the the apple butter on your head. But that was the situation. But
excuse me, go ahead.
No, I'm done.
I was going to ask if I could correct one statement that Mal made. He said when the group was organized, this group was never organized.
Why, it was too. I was the dictator and he was the secretary. I made the rules, he filed them in his head, and that's in his condition now.
Yeah, but you never saw as loose jointed a group as this and call them organized. Yeah, he was the dictator.
Well, just as one more.
The main rule was that anybody that made a motion was stuck for the coffee.
One more final reminiscing that I'd like to bring up. Of course, I got my letter of introduction from President Roosevelt to take an early tour of duty, commencing in April of 1941. Unfortunately, I had a commission, and so he decided that I should take my year's training in advance, and so I was called to duty in April of 1941. And that extended to just a little over 5 years of active duty. When I come back in 1940, I think I come back to the community in September of 45. But in reminiscing with regards to what Les had said about people sending different things to have so far as the chickens is concerned, when I was in Europe, I don't know how many of you people, I'm sure those of us that was in service remembers the sea ration and what a terrible ration it was. But anyhow, I saved up several of my cans of sea ration that I couldn't possibly eat sea ration. That is the one ration that was served that I could not eat. I just couldn't.
Just like apple butter.
Yeah, it's just like apple butter, or a lot worse. So I saved up several of my cans of sea ration and sent them back to the chickens come home to roost in care of Les Slade. I think that you served it one time.
It was nice.
Yeah, nice and hot.
Sorry I couldn't be there and enjoy it.
Yeah, but that was another time that I enjoyed sending back and
sharing with the group.
And sharing with the group. That is correct.
That was very nice of you. Okay, Les.
Well, we're talking about mail. I got to bring this up. Remember the old BC Bank building that had two floors on, the flagpole that stuck out right over Main Street? So here comes Cubole's. I should have said that right away. Here comes Mr. Hickman's birthday. So we got a great big bed sheet and wrote, "Happy birthday, Cubole," and sent it right out there before he got to work.
Correction. Right. Took it over Bailey and Himes, had it sewed on. Red letter.
"Happy birthday, Cubole," and they put it right out on Main Street, and here come Mel down the street and looked up and see the flag.
Yeah, who went to jail? Me. That afternoon, chief of police come down. I don't know how many charges he had against me. Marched me down the street, and every storefront was full of people waiting to see the parade go by. Time we got around the front door of the police station, they were all in the back room. Earl Meenick was just a piece. And he said, "Oscar, gosh, everybody around here likes you." And he said, "You had a good reputation. So if you'll buy a Coke for the boys, so we'll just drop the charges." I said, "Hell, if you buy Coke, she's dying of thirst." And I didn't, so I threw him in jail. All over him. Only time I was in, but enjoyable, nobody else in there.
Who was the chief of police at that time?
Harley Harm.
Harley Harm.
Same guy's got the gun on me in that picture.
Oh, my goodness. It looks to me like you got in quite a bit of trouble through the years.
Well, I did. I suffered.
I'll bet you.
Terrible.
What are some of those other terrible, now you've landed in jail? What else? Can you remember?
Got out.
Thanks, Lum.
How much money do you suppose you had to spend through the years on coffee or refreshments for this group?
I wouldn't know, and I'd hate to know. Because I think I've been well off. I hadn't spent it all. I think
I don't think he spent enough to pay for his own coffee. Lucky as he was.
I doubt very much he paid for very much at all.
Really?
I didn't intend to.
He was a leader.
If they questioned any decision, made a motion of any kind, or anything like that, I automatically stuck them. They didn't have a choice.
A few black marks, too, honestly.
Yes. And when sometimes one black mark was enough, sometimes three or four. Then I stick them automatic. But we had to keep decorum. I wasn't ever elected. I was a dictator. I would like to say that we were accused of playing politics, which is something we didn't allow. Now, there were a lot of politicians in the chickens, but as chickens, we never allowed any politics. And we were accused of running the city affairs. In fact, one article in the paper stated that all this city business was conducted by the chickens. Well, we did have a mayor, we had chief police, a city attorney, chief of police, chief of the fire department, and a few of those, you know, underdogs that attended. Well, we wanted to be helpful.
Well, and you mean you let those newspaper reporters come in and sit in on this?
Oh, yes.
Okay. If they could stand the rising, they got
it. Yeah.
And some had to pay, too.
They had to pay. I don't know. Annabelle behaved herself pretty well, as I remember.
Sometimes.
I want to say that as a little sidelight, my daughter was going to university. She had a sociology class, I believe it was. I came home at noon one day and she was mad at Hops. She had been attending this sociology class, and they were, I don't know how it came in, but they were talking about pressure groups in local communities. And the first one he mentioned was the chickens come to roost. And that made her mad. I don't know why. She never did forgive that man. I didn't either.
Was this her instructor?
Mm-hmm. He's a professor. He's retired now. He still lives here. He got over it, I guess.
Has he ever joined your group?
No.
No.
No, we never saw anything of him.
Oh, okay.
Only out on the street.
Well, did you have any other educators in your group?
Oh,
we've had teachers?
Oh, yeah. Not teachers, professors. We always went for the top dog.
Oh.
Their names are in these books.
Good. Okay, Les.
I think one of the big hushes, quietest that the group in the old Alley Inn has ever been, was the time Mr. Phillips had a party out to his house, invited everybody out. And everybody knows Mr. H.I. Green. And at that party, they convinced Mr. Green that he should join the Chickens Come to Roost.
No, no.
Wasn't it that time?
Yeah, but that ain't, we didn't ask him to join at all.
No, no. But, I mean, I think he was asked.
No. He asked what you had to do after his over. It was quite a bunch.
Yeah, yeah.
Because as soon as everybody got together, the harpoons started flying. And he's expecting a fight most any minute. He looked this way and he looked that way, and then everything cooled off, and he'd chuckle a little. He was sitting at my right. When it was over, he said, "There's quite a bunch." I said, "Yes, they are." But I have to go back a little. He kind of belittled the organization as a waste of time and told Enos so several times. In fact, Enos asked me before this particular big dinner, if it'd be all right for him to invite him. I said, "You're putting on the party, invite anybody you want to." I said, "Well, do you think the boys would object?" I said, "They don't care. Your party." So he did invite him, and he said, he had two tables, one in the dining room, one in the living room. I was the head of one, and he was the head of the other. So H.I. came in, and he put him next to me. He thought it'd be better, because I wasn't employed by him, he was. Anyhow, when this meeting was over, to get back on the subject, he said there's quite a bunch, and I agreed with him, you know, kind of half-heartedly, but then I did agree with him. And he said, "What do you have to do to belong?" I said, "Come. At your own risk, that's all. Stay away if you want to." He says, "No other requirements?" I said, "No. You just have to put up with them, and you have to take what the rest of them do, and that's all. If you want to do that, anybody's welcome." And I said, "We'd be glad to have you." And the next morning, he was there. Now, I want you to know that he wasn't just there. He was there regular. Mrs. Bellis, many of you here would remember her, was his secretary. She nailed me one morning. She said, "Did I catch the devil yesterday?" I said, "What's the matter?" "Well," she said, "Mr. Green was dictating a brief." I leaned back in that big chair of his, and he said, "Look at that clock." I said, "Yes, I see. It's 5 minutes to 11." He said, "The chickens meet at 10:15. Don't ever let that happen again." And he meant it. And he was a regular attendant from that time on. And I looked through the books. He missed one or two days out of a month. And not at all. He was there every morning. And when he came in the door, he always blasted out something he knew would start an argument. He was very good at it. And we had some good time. And we had a ritual when we passed some birthday cards around. He always wanted to sit at the other end of the table from me. I think he could get away as far as he could. I don't know. But anyhow, when I get down to him, he say, "What's this? Birthday card. Who's it for? None of your business. If you don't want to sign it, pass it on." And this went on every birthday. He signed his name, pass it on. But it was such a change of attitude, because he really had the original idea. It was a waste of time, and anybody belong knows that better than that. I do want to mention a few things that we did do. We had a lady in town who owned a home, had no income. We found out about her, and we sent her a warm meal once a day. Let's deliver that she had a hot meal once every day, and we paid for it. Nobody ever knew it. There was a fire. I remember I had two or three children. They wanted blankets. We bought four blankets and sent them, but nobody knew it. we had all of our gifts of that kind would take a special assessment. Lots of times the boys themselves didn't know what it was for. I just told them we had another donation to make. And some of them accused me of taking a little. Well, I did take a little, but I didn't take much. I really didn't. And I want you to know that this is what's left of the chicken. And this is the first time that my books have ever been audited.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can apply that on the coffee tonight.
I want you to know that. Look at this silver money here.
My goodness.
Yeah.
All right.
$102.
This is supposed to be for the photograph.
But that's silver money.
The latest mint mark.
What became of that other 18 cents?
I threw it away.
Well, I was talking about H.I. Green. I think Oscar forgot about this little deal here. That my wife, the boys used to get a little mouthy and talking and that, and she had an old dish rag she brought out.
Oh, I haven't forgotten
that. She washed her face with it. So Mr. Green one day, he got a little obnoxious and that.
Oh, I wasn't either. She made cupcakes and you only raised about that much. Said, where'd the pancakes come from?
Well, I said he got obnoxious. And she brought that dish rag out and she washed his face. And everybody was sitting there. If anybody knows Mr. H.I. Green, everybody sat there and was real quiet. They was waiting for him to say, oh, you know. And he didn't. He didn't say a word.
She stood up behind him with this wash rag. And I said, go ahead. And she let him have it. And you ought to seen the expression come on his face. But he decided it'd be better to laugh about it. And we had a good friend.
From that on, it was a real good friend.
He sure was. Wonderful.
Excuse me, I'm back, and I'm not on the program, but I have another meeting. I got clear down the street, and I thought I'd come back to say something. I was a young reporter just out of college, and I came over here as a neophyte reporter, and I met these gentlemen, and I respected them, and I, gentlemen, and I heard their care.
I think somebody ought to tell the ending of one of Carson's stories. Poor old Carson had a story every morning. But he always forgot the punchline. So I imagine some of you guys can remember the punchline, even though you can't remember the story.
Yeah, but it wouldn't sound good.
But he'd go on and on and on, you know, and finally we'd start to walk out. And then usually somebody had heard the story somewhere else, and they'd say, well, Carson, it was this way, and he'd finish the story up. But Carson never finished the story.
The funny part was two or three times, or maybe half a dozen, he'd get back to the store, and he'd try to tell somebody, and he couldn't think of it. He called me, asked what the rest of the story was so he could tell it. But he had a lot of fun with it, I'll tell you that. He was a lot of fun.
Where was it? Mal mentioned the Chamber of Commerce offices. Where were they at that time?
Well, when I was Secretary of the Association of Commerce, it was upstairs over it was the front three rooms above the Busey, of the old Busey Bank.
Okay, will you give that location?
Well, it was actually on the corner of right here, but at Race in
Maine.
Maine. But the building, the modern building now, has the old Busey building was torn down. And on the same floor at that time was John Mitchum had his office along that hallway, and the entrance to the second floor was off of the Race Street side, and it would be about where, I suppose, where the entrance to Citizens Building and Loan would be.
About
it was right in between,
just north of
it. Yeah.
And you'd go up one set of up the first flight of stairs, and you'd turn to right, and it would go to Mitchum's office and my office, the Association of Commerce office, and you'd turn left, and who was it in the back part? Was that where Finfrock had it? Finfrock had his office there in the back.
Well, the IOOF
lodge
had up there.
Finfrock wasn't up there, was it?
No.
Oh, that's
right.
That's right. Yeah, your dad.
I think we went in the room to
Yeah. Well, who was in the...
I think Paul Busey had a studio back up
there. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right, yeah. Well, anyhow, I knew, and Mitchum was up there, and then the IOF Lodge was on the next flight up, right.
It was on the third floor.
Yeah.
And they go into this process of marching around and that old Busey bandage shake, remember that?
Yeah.
I think as long as you open this thing up, I ought to tell about the time that you made your application for secretary. He wanted to know, a day or two before, if they had any competition. And I said, well, yes, you have, Mel. I said, Mark Brown's thinking about running for it. Mark had no intention of doing it, but I told him that. So, well, of course, that's all right, he said. I'm just wondering. That night, we had our dinner, and then we had our business meeting. And, of course, when we got around to secretary, we asked Mel to step out. That was Order McClurg, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
So we asked him to step out, and we had quite a long discussion, because he being the only candidate took quite a while. So then they said, I'd call him in. So I went to the door and stuck my head out. Mel's there and he's ready to go, you know. I said, is Mark Brown out here? He said, no, I haven't seen him. He turned pale. I don't know why. But inasmuch as Mark wasn't there, we let him come in. So we hired him. Is that right?
That's right.
I'm sure I had the story right. I didn't want to lie about it.
Quite a few of you gentlemen, and I think others in the audience have been associated with the association. Well, I know you all were at the Association of Commerce, but have held offices, haven't you?
Yes. Last is the past president, Enos Phillips is the past president, and I, in addition to being secretary, I was past president of Past President's Association. Lum is the past president.
John Finfrock.
Who else has been a... I mentioned him. Enos, I mentioned. And
past secretary.
Well, we got a secretary, Charlie Ziprode. And fact of the matter is, Charlie, I think I was honored in being on your selection committee to get you to count.
I
guess
your mistakes.
I worked hard against it, but I couldn't stop it.
But I think practically, I think that there's an awful lot of members of the Association of Commerce here. Right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Excuse me.
I'd like to just mention, either on my father-in-law's 65th or 66th birthday, 2 days prior, Oscar, as I was making a meat purchase in the shop, indicated that it might be appropriate to have a few guests over from the university. We did finally wind up with 3 cars and 18 people at the chicken for him to pick up the tab.
Yeah, right, yeah.
I think that went through the office, though, that bill. I had to pay my own.
Back to the so-called organization. Anybody that could stand the rising that they got was perfectly welcome to come. And after 3 times in 1 month attendance, you put them on the books, isn't that right?
Mm-hmm.
As a member. If they dropped out later, it was all right. But that was just how strict this organization was run. Anybody could come in and take the rising that they got, pay their share of the losses. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting to see the new people. We had a salesman that called on us. And took him over, and he played chickens for the drink. He was sure we set it on him. There's no way in the world he can, because he got 1 to 5 fingers. He came back again. He called on us about 2 or 3 times a year. He wanted to go play chickens again. And someone else of us got stuck. And that's when he got surprised. He couldn't figure that out, because he thought he had it all figured out.
I would like to just merely make a suggestion and to reconstruct a little here and with the group to participate. The organization we're talking about approximately 1939, and I would just like to go back and reconstruct from you people out there as you think Urbana existed. Stay starting down on the north west corner of Broadway and Main, where Curry's restaurant is at the present time. Just go down the north side of Main Street, then jump across the street and go into the, go back from Knowlton and Bennett back up to the Grab It Here store, then jump down here to the old Busey Bank and go down to, at that time, Western Avenue, which is now Springfield, and jump across the street. Remember where the Flatiron Building was? Go across the street from there and then come back on up and just try to remember or what you think was there in 1939. You'd be surprised.
You have a list of them there?
No, I do not. No, I do not have. But I'm just... Have you got it?
What was on the corner there, then, where Curry's is?
Well, I wasn't here then, but I thought you had...
All right. What was on the corner where Curry's restaurant is at the present time? Jim, you should know that. All right.
Drugstore.
No.
No, that was on where Corey's at. That was one of the Briners.
Briners. Briners was there. That is correct.
I remember that place.
Briners was in the third building.
No. Both of them. There's two of them. Bakey's and Briners.
All right. What was in the next building? All right. Let's go on down the line.
Briners. Robert's restaurant.
All right. What kind of? Do you remember what kind of entrance they had to their place? Yeah.
It was
three steps.
You went up three steps from the sidewalk to get into the restaurant. Yeah. How many of you remember that? Sure, you do.
If you bought a meal on Sunday for another nickel, you got a quarter of a pie.
Yeah, that is correct. All right, I don't know whether you'd be interested in this or not, but I mean, I think, wasn't you and I, John, and just the other day was trying to reminisce. And by golly, I tell you, you go back 40 years and you forget. We couldn't name too many of them.
After Briner's was the hardware store.
What
that
about
was
the white and gold?
The white and gold.
That was the white and gold there.
How about Lucas?
Time for office.
Lucas is on the alley.
Was Bill James in there?
No.
Bill James was
later,
there one time.
But at that time, he was down here.
Yeah.
Bill James was down here on the other side of the Busey Bank.
Yeah.
Right.
Bill James is where the...
On the other side of Busey Bank.
West side of Busey Bank is.
Then a bowling alley and then Jackson.
Yeah.
Right.
The bowling alley was upstairs.
All right, let's jump across the street now. I mean, we all remember Knowlton and Bennett's, naturally, but all right, let's go on east
Oscar
from Knowlton and Bennett on Main Street.
Oscar Stair. Kroger's.
Kroger's. And then Joe Rear.
Meat
Joe
Rear.
And Martin.
No, Urbana Drugs.
Sniping.
How about Barber Jewelry?
Yeah, the barbershop is in there.
Right next to the Sunshine Store.
And then the Urbana Drugs is in there.
That's right.
And then we're on the
Kroger's
alley. Who was there on the alley where Kepler's are now? Was that Kepler's?
Bank?
No, the bank was there. That
was Tepper's was there in 39.
Tepper's were there in 39.
No, Penny's was not.
No.
Tepper's, Pearl Tepper at that time, or now Pearl Feldman, and her dad started the Urbana, what was the name of it? Urbana. Urbana Dry Goods. Urbana Dry Goods store.
That's right.
And that's in the building of that where Lori is now. Urbana
that's
Dry
right.
Goods.
Urbana Dry Goods.
Then they started the, in addition to the dry goods, and later on, they developed the China store, and then they closed the store here and moved over to Champaign on Walnut Street and developed the Tepper China store over there. But,
Now the dime store, was it there?
Yeah, all Scott's.
Yeah. Dime store was there.
Scott's.
And the drugstore.
Sim's drugstore.
Sim's.
Yes, that's right.
Then the pool hall.
Mallow's
pool hall.
Hulo?
Yeah, Mallow's was right next to the Grab It Here
store. Next to the
That's right.
We bought out
Well, you were down there first, weren't you? You bought them out and then moved down to the...
Yeah, 39, we were over in Enos' building.
Yeah.
Where Stevens...
Is the Town & Country on the corner before Kroger or after? Is the Town & Country
restaurant
right on the corner?
Orleans Palace.
Huh?
No, it's on the corner.
Big market there.
Did you, what did you, like, what did you just say?
Hornings.
That was my grandfather.
Palace Market.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's
a meat
grocery store
there, was
there
a meat
for
market.
A good many years, wasn't there?
All right, let's jump across the street and go on Main Street now. Go on down west on the north side of Main Street, starting with, again, Palmer and Wallace.
Yeah.
Right.
And then Collins Meat Market.
Palmer and Davis, try that.
Palmer and Davis, yeah.
Collins.
Tom Collins.
Yeah.
Run a meat market.
Here's jewelry.
Yeah.
Well, now, the jewelry store come in after the meat market.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
It was there from 19...
Yeah.
It was built in 1914.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, going down.
Oh, boy.
You have here a pretty good record of businesses.
Well, they was way down on the end.
1874. Jerry Myers said you got a copy, I think I brought a copy of the back of this letterhead that showed...
We're a band of furniture company. Who was in there?
The letterhead that lists... The
warden was in there.
No, they were on down, weren't they?
Yeah.
They were down on the end.
Meese was in there.
Meese, yeah.
And wasn't Mr. James, wasn't he a manager?
No, he was on the other side.
No, Manager Ward.
Manager Ward.
Manager Ward when they first opened. Okay, did you mention the photographer?
Yeah, Fletcher.
Fletcher. He was on the on down there.
Hmm?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Garland Fletcher was just right around the corner.
Yeah, just right around the bed.
What about the south side of the street? You cross in front of the Flatiron. Does anyone...
Monument shop.
On the...
Well, coming back from the monument, I mean, coming back from the Flatiron, which is in the triangle, and you jumped across, and was the monument Phillips Monument. That was a brother to Enos. Ed Phillips ran it. Then there was a vacant lot where he had his outside display. And then from there, it's very hazy to me.
Apperson Plumbing was in there.
Gardens Cleaners, that's right. Then Harry Heater had a restaurant.
There was an A&P in there at one time, but I think that was before that time.
So, I mean...
A&P Grocery. That was Heater. Harry Heater.
And then Bill James.
And then Bill James.
And the bank.
And the bank.
But there you are. I mean, you just don't realize...
That's right. How many changes
there are.
We have the books for the Monument Company there. From the beginning, back in the
86.
Up into 19, well, whenever they closed.
62. 86, that was the year before I was born. Or two.
Well, how many people remember the stop sign right out in the middle of the street of Main and Broadway?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it had a big concrete base.
Asinine thing that they had on Race and Green?
Right in the middle of the street.
How many remember that?
You couldn't help it or see them.
The signal light setting in the center of Race and Green, then they had also one at Main and Broadway, too. But the one that was on Race and Green, you just couldn't get around that thing.
Well, cars weren't as big then.
No, they had that great big bass thing to that thing. Man alive, if you hit that, why, you just bounced off of it. That was it.
I think we'll change the subject. You'd think there's a bunch of old people here. The way
right. Oh, well,
that was before my time.
Explain about the membership after three attendances. One month without getting stuck, you got fined.
Oh, well, we wasn't going to mention. But we had to raise money some way.
Okay.
And then they got out two or three petitions to replace the dictator, but I never stood for that. Never once. And then they also petitioned a good many times to have an audit fund. But that wasn't allowable either. The rules of the organization. They're filing his head yet.
Ruled out of order.
Too. Yes. Mm-hmm.
There's one rule here that Oscar's forgotten to bring up.
Okay.
Anybody who was unfortunate enough to have their picture in the paper sold on them, not with a group. You were automatically stuck.
That's oh, yes.
Oh.
Well, you have to pay for that publicity.
Sure. I remember one time my picture was in there with Bud Hatch's name on it, and I refused to pay, but I did.
Well, now, there should have been exceptions made. There are special rules for that.
No exceptions.
I see.
I forgot to mention this. Most of you know. Mrs. Bigler made that for me on one of my birthdays. And so for quite a while, whosever birthday it was wore this cap. It's very nice.
Well, that's
does everything but crow. I did that.
You took care of that. I still think there have to be some more stories here that.
Well, there are, but so many of them. Hey, it's the wrong kind of a group, really. I'm sorry.
Well. Well, I meant stories about people.
Oh, well, that's what I'm talking about, too.
Stories about people, too.
Yeah, most of them were people.
The Ace of Trumps, when I was in school, that we used to carry around here, when people got uppity, you know, about Urbana, was just a little small town, and didn't amount to much, not worth what Champagne was or anything, we said, how many times did Abraham Lincoln stay all night at your house or at your town? Why, he said he never did. I said, but he stayed all night in Urbana time and time and time again. He said, they said, can you prove it? And I said, yes. Well, I've got the hotel register now. I knew where it was. I knew where it was, but it didn't belong to the library. But I got it since then.
Well, good for you.
Well, see it?
Yeah.
Which hotel?
While she's getting that, I wanted to ask, how many Outlanders from Champaign, if I may use
the library will close in 15 minutes.
Oh,
There's that voice.
Ignore that.
Yes. Did you have quite a few from Champaign across
yes.
White Street?
Surely.
Yes.
Well, I think that was very... Who was that? I see.
Les? How did it happen that you started putting apple butter on the table? We're going to the race in today, and the only table that has apple butter is the one in the back.
Oh, no, the big table has apple butter.
Let's see, back in the...
And the counter has apple butter
But the other small tables don't have it.
No.
No.
Just for the regulars.
Is this during the 40s?
No.
You never asked for
it. How did that start?
During the war.
That was the cheapest thing you could buy.
I'm going to see some.
Well, here's 46. 45.
Are you counting Champagne people here?
Well, we're trying to find
them.
During the war, we had several.
You met down at the community building.
Hmm?
Okay, now where was that community building? People might think it, Outlanders from here might think it was the one in the Civic Center. Where was
well,
it?
Well, it was. It's the one they tore down when they built Civic Center.
Yeah, but it's
on Elm Street. It was on Elm Street, next to the
You don't need to let anybody get uppity. There's David Davis. He was the presiding judge riding into town with a young attorney, a Mr. A. Lincoln from Springfield.
I'll be doggone.
U.S.
Well, I'll be doggone.
Well, Annabelle was Champagne. He was Champagne. Mm-hmm. And then we had
Eddie Jaquin.
And we had, Taylor was the reporter. Annabelle was here. Roy Taylor, that's right. He was a regular attendant.
Oh, gee.
All right.
That was the picture of Lincoln taken in a I got them all right there together.
Ora Dillaboo was from Champagne.
No.
I know, but...
Now, you celebrated everybody's birthday?
Yeah, I hadn't been there.
Everybody's birthday down in the book.
Oh, I see a name here that was from Bonneville, too.
I see.
And I was telling a little story about that.
How did he happen to get in the group?
He was county...
And at the courthouse.
Clerk? Yeah. County clerk. And J.T. Wilcox, who's in partnership with Wyckoff's,
yes,
was, as I said, quite a membership gatherer.
Or Delavue.
And he kept, well, but
well,
he lived here.
He lived.
And he kept after Willard, because Willard came down every morning to the bank. He said, oh, stop in the chicken. Oh, he didn't want to do that. He went on, he finally talked him in. And he just knew it was a crooked game to stick the stranger, which we all told him it was. And he didn't get stuck. And he thought that was fine. So he got into the habit of coming. And if I remember rightly, I wish I knew the date, I could show you. He went almost a month and was never stuck. And every day he was getting louder and louder about how he wished he'd known about this easy thing where he could get his coffee free all the time. Well, the next month it started in, and it looked like he never let up. He was stuck almost every day. So we evened that up for him pretty well. But he was from Bonda.
Willard Goodman.
Yeah, here's Lord. Tex Wells. He's a real good friend of Mr. Phillips is there.
Yeah. He's a visitor.
He is a visitor.
Now, these lists of names I told, we had one column for visitors.
I see. You could bring guests. I mean, could you just
anybody. But they weren't a member unless they came at least three times in 1 month. Then if they missed twice, and the month wasn't out of town or something like that, then they were dropped off the book again.
There's Harry Pettibone. Everybody remember?
Yes, he had the barbershop.
The barbershop. Mm-hmm. We couldn't get him to come in. He was a little tightwad. He didn't like to spend the money.
Well, you put that nicely.
Now, here's Hendricks, Gregory, and Michael Cincelli of the News Gazette.
Chenego.
Who was your
date on that? November 1954.
Who was Virginia Cook? Virginia Cook.
Well, you know, there's one thing. You always had to have someone left at the store to mind the store, didn't you? Or the office or whatever?
Well, sometimes.
Oh, yeah. We usually left somebody there.
Okay. Lock the door.
Well, I just wondered if this
who was
this
Bronson?
Did business stop for 15 minutes downtown?
You dragged along without it.
McFarland. He was like you.
Who was Appleman? Was he considered Urbana Champaign?
No, I think he's considered.
Well, in the old alley end, we had a fire bell that was connected with the fire department. All the firemen ate at the alley end. Mm-hmm. And if they happened to be alarmed at that time that they were eating there, the bell would ring in the alley in, and boy, everybody would scurry down the alley. And sometimes, I at that time, I had a hat and boots and everything there, and I was practically a fireman at that time, and I'd answer all the calls. I'd hang on the back of the fire trucks and go to the fire with them and that. The last fire that I fought was over on University Avenue, the old, at the Lincoln Motel. And they wore me out that night, and I gave up.
There were quite a few of those. The Flatiron Building.
Yeah.
In Urbana.
In 41, Cy Bing was a regular attendant.
Yeah.
Yes.
Dr. Terry.
He was an eye doctor, wasn't he?
Who?
Dr. Terry. T-E-R-R-Y.
I think he was an eye doctor.
Who was Virginia Cook? I'm still wanting to know who was Virginia Cook.
I don't remember him.
I don't remember.
She appears quite regularly in there.
Well, long
I can't place her.
In here is not bad.
Anyone in the audience remember Virginia Cook?
Hmm?
Virginia Cook?
On my old book, I think I have, but I didn't bring it.
Did you ever keep a display of pictures up there or anything to show some of the carry-ins on? Or did you keep a scrapbook? Did
no.
Did you ever keep a scrapbook of when you made the headlines in the newspapers?
No, I didn't keep a scrapbook. I did have some of them, but I don't know where they went. I hunted up all I could.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, in these things are this type of thing, and you'll find some that are
Postcards.
And
this is from Lum. And there's a chicken. And he says, what's your hurry? The rooster said. And he says, well, I told you. There's four or five little chickens. I never could understand that. I don't know what it meant. I was too young then.
Well, now here we have a picture of Lum Corey, and when he was a good sport and sang "Let Me Call You Sweetheart." Who's Diana? Oh, I see. Diana Domko was Miss Champaign Urbana.
Well, uh-huh. Is anything to do with women? He was there.
I see. Well,
I had to
send
fight
Miss America around. I'll sing again.
All right. It says immediately after the duet, she was presented with a bouquet of a dozen roses by Oscar Steer.
Oh.
Well, I had to get even somewhere. I couldn't sing.
Didn't even give me a dandelion.
Do you remember what they gave you? He had a gift for you. Oscar Steer presented Corey with a small branch from a maple tree. He said, "I tried to find some dandelions for you, but couldn't get them quick enough." So, well, what were some of the other, who were some of the other entertainers, or were you one of the regulars?
Well, I think that Oscar Steer probably is the best entertainer.
Good.
And I, when you said something about the bouquet, it brought up another little situation that I'd like to.
What are you bringing that up for?
But anyhow, I was, I ill, or what was the reason for
well,
it? But anyhow,
it wasn't, you was afterward.
But Oscar Steer and a group, I'll put it that way, and a group, collected all the onions and anything that would spoil from Mr. Steer's grocery store, and kept that in boxed up for about 3 days. Now, you know what onions in a closed...
Oop. The last night is spent in the police station
by the
radiator.
Okay.
So it's to keep it warm.
But anyhow...
And the police delivered it the next morning before
that
he was up.
That was delivered in a nice corsage box from Brash Flower Shop, and Charlie Brash, I think, had a little hand in it. But
he might have had a little hand in it, but he didn't deliver.
But that thing was delivered to me at home, and I'm telling you, I can still remember that smell. I tell you, it was terrible.
You smell as bad as apple pie?
Right. Yes, and by the way, that brings up another situation, and I got a call from Mr. Jim Withers.
Jim,
what? You go ahead and you tell him, Mr. Withers. I mean, you're the one that brought it up, and my I fell through the floor. I mean, I'm just my ego just dropped right down to the. But what was the situation?
It didn't last
go
long.
Ahead,
he got it
Jim.
Back the next day.
Go ahead.
Ego is full of.
My wife answered the telephone. I remember that. Now, I don't want.
I didn't get a chance to talk to you. That was on a boat for you fellas.
Yeah, it's from this chicken come home to Roost Club. Yeah, right after come.
I was asked to call you, and I got a hold of the wife, and I told her to tell you that on a vote to 4-3, that we are expressing our wishes that you get well.
There we are. That's coming from my group. And it was that the occasion, too, that when I got the dirty bouquet, I still smell those onions.
Nuts. Not too long.
That wasn't dirty.
Not Lazy. Too long after Mel was
not
married.
Many people get a warm bouquet. That was hot.
Not too long after Mel was married. He got cards, birthday cards, from 3 or 4 of his old girlfriends.
Mel?
First,
I know. His mother, some reason or other, his wife didn't like that.
Told somebody the names of some of his girlfriends, and Peg didn't appreciate it.
When I arrived in Urbana in September of 1938, I had been married just 3 months. And these jokers, I don't know where they got it from. But
your mother.
Yeah, but most of you, I think, know my wife. She's a grand individual. But I tell you, prior girlfriends just did not sit well with Peg. These jokers sent cards to me. And I tell you, I had a lot of explaining to do for a long time, I'll tell you.
Well, we tried hard to find out who it was.
Yeah, that's right. But I know. Son of a gun. But anyhow.
I can see why.
How could you get in so much trouble?
I don't know.
You must ask for it.
Did you just pick on Mal?
Oh, yeah. That day.
At that time, I think that I was a favorite picker on her.
There were no exceptions.
He always raised a fuss about it. That's the main thing.
Yeah, I laughed at him. He said once he never got mad.
Yeah.
I can see why people hated to miss a session of the chickens come home to roost.
Well, you get talked about if you did.
Well, yeah.
Of course, if you went, you got talked about too. So it didn't make much difference.
But you were afraid of what you'd miss if you weren't there.
There were several hours. I don't know how many of you were at the time that, of course, it's already been mentioned here with regards to Earl Carson. As we said, that Earl could never remember a punchline. He just could never get it straight. But I tell you, I think that this one time, the group was all sitting around Les's back table there. And I think this is one of the first times that Earl got the story complete, got the punchline correct. But instead of laughing, which you would normally do it at some of these stories, this whole group just sat there, just not a smile, no nothing. And I'm telling you, there with poor Earl Carson, having told his story complete, got the punchline correct, and not a soul would laugh at his story. That was terrible. Do you remember that when that happened? Done over again, I tell you. All right. Nobody no. Just everybody just sat there. Just.
Well, I think you all sort of had each other's number here, and I probably not too many words had to be said between you so. To work out these things. Does the audience? I think we're about ready to button this up, but I want to know if the audience has any questions they would like to ask the chickens or any other chickens in that were members in the audience that would like to. Have they missed anything?
No, but I sure wish Oscar would come back down again so we could get back to our coffee thing.
There's an awful lot of spitballs going on.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah. But if I caught him, that cost him, too.
I see.
Well, some of them got awful soggy.
Yeah. It was all north of Black Mark.
We even had a little spell there for a while throwing spoons. I didn't like that. And then one threw a cup, coffee cup.
Well, Les, did they get really unruly? Did you ever have to really
sit down on?
Yeah.
Well, a very orderly group.
They didn't have to leave the premises, though.
No.
No, allowed them to stay.
We control them.
You control them.
This coffee cup throwing happened while we were in the community building. And we kind of discouraged him from coming anymore.
Biscuits were all right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but they're soft.
They're soft.
Our distinguished judge back there, when he was in high school, at an athletic banquet, I was master of ceremonies, and I had a heck of a time keeping him in biscuits. I'd sit up there and toss them, and he'd eat them as fast as I could get them to him. Didn't you?
Yeah, he even popped one in his mouth when his photographer was waiting to take his picture.
Did you ever invite your wives?
Well, I don't think so. Not officially.
Esther and I had to stay at the store and keep the store all
day. Oh, that's who was doing the work, huh?
Once in a while, with Mark, they had coffee in the afternoon, and if there was enough men there, they made me play chickens with them in the afternoon, and I never
went
a single
time
without I got
stuck. Well, that's the reason he brought you.
I know.
You should have had that in figure, huh?
No.
I wouldn't let my wife go, because we both couldn't afford to be stuck.
What? Now, what year did this group disband?
This year.
This?
It was officially disbanded January of this year.
January of this year.
Yeah.
I see.
There's no official disbanding. It just fell apart.
They brought me out the book out home and said it was done.
Doc Buterbaugh was the surviving.
Yeah, when he moved out, quit keeping the books.
Keeping the books.
I see. Then this was officially, the books were kept up until that, until that time.
I might tell you that Ori Dillaboo would like to have been here tonight, and he was a regular attendant for good many years. We called him Senator Claghorn when he was a state representative. I called him, he answered the phone, and I said, would this be Senator Claghorn? And he said, well, I have been called that. So he hadn't forgotten that either. And I called, who else wasn't able to come? I have the list at home, I could have it.
Well, did I understand that we're going to be the keeper of the books, maybe?
They are yours.
Fine.
And all this money here.
Yeah.
$4.
Was it $4?
That's right.
Well,
those
I would have to give you three
coins.
And a half.
I think we should keep those for a while. Where is your grocery store?
Well, the Association of Commerce is now, the Chamber of Commerce is now. Originally, I was where Whitaker's at. I was there 3 years. That's where I got tied up with this Lum and Abner business. He was Lum of the drugstore on the corner, and we were next to him, so they had to have a name for me, and they called me Abner. But it never stuck very good, because I was too good looking for that. What'd you say, Zip?
Any more questions?
That's been a long time ago.
Haven't improved any either.
When was the last time the game was played? And I've been in and out of the Race Inn for about three years, and I've never seen it played there. You know when the last time it was played?
About December the 10th?
Yeah.
January the 10th.
Yeah.
At the table in the back there?
No, they met in the back room.
They met in the back.
Yeah, it was a different group.
Yeah, the back room, you just go around one table and until you
see,
came back.
Corey still has his entertainment, advertising, I should say.
Good God.
The last date that they got records was January 12th. There were two there.
Two there.
And on the 13th, one. And then they brought the book to me.
Who was the last one there?
Dr.
Peterwell.
Well, this is marked for, that's how much you got stuck. I'm sorry. The last was on the 12th. Earl Barnes got stuck $2.45. No, that was his birthday.
Yeah,
that was his birthday. I'm sorry. The last day they played the game would be the 11th. And Bob Judd got stuck $1.65. Mm-hmm. No, 65. And Pewter Ball got the other 65.
So the chickens come to roost were in existence from the fall of 1968 to the 1938.
Just read off some of these names here. This is a birthday group here. I mean,
that's a late one.
Is this a late one?
Well, it was rather late. At least the last one they had, let's put it that way.
About 39 years.
You want the old one?
Let's see how, just see how many of the group.
I think it's right here. No? We'll have to go to the other book, next book.
Oscar, I think on the birthdays you ought to explain. You might have had your birthday any darn time you decided.
No, this is Ed Disney.
Well, as it worked in the program.
Yeah, if it came on Saturday and Sunday.
You had to celebrate.
Pick an alternate date.
You couldn't get out of it by having a birthday on a Sunday or on
no.
It would just assign you another day.
This would be about November 1941.
41.
List of those birthdays. Uh-huh. And I see a name right there, Marjorie Winnie.
Uh-huh.
She was a
Marjorie Winnie.
Reporter, wasn't she?
Who?
Marjorie Winnie?
Yeah, Marjorie.
Winnie?
I believe that was the last name.
Who is this here?
Pasek. P-E-S-E-K. Don't ask me, I don't know.
Havens.
Chuck Havens.
That's Chuck Havens. And there's that cook again.
Well, that's L.A. Cook. You run the Scott store.
Oh, that's right. You run the Scott store. And Terry.
That's that Dr. Terry.
Bob Murphy, Brash, Harley Harmon, and Bob Brown.
Now, that Brash is Charlie Brash.
That's Charlie Brash. Now, Bob Brown, wasn't he connected with the school system?
University.
University.
History, huh? Miss Gwynn.
Miss Gwynn. Enos Phillips. Mr. Vedder. Mary Lou.
Couldn't make it tonight. Vedder couldn't make it.
Yeah.
And I'm glad to see that there's a female. E. Johnson.
Oh, we had several. During,
Russ Elliott. Remember him? And here's J.T. Wilcox. Harry Little. And there's Charlie Dent. Lum Corey. And who's this? Mike Each.
Halloran.
Mike Halloran. Mr. Haddon. Everybody remembers him.
Went to the FBI, didn't he?
Yeah. He married
Shoemaker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And here's Kurt Slater, Mr. Green, and there's Willis Bloom. That's Willis Bloom. And
Frank Mills.
Frank Mills.
He was with the newspaper.
And Bullock.
He was with the newspaper. Yeah.
And here's Marriott. Moret.
Moret.
Bert. And Woolridge. Now, what Woolridge was that? I don't seem to. There's Harry Bigler, Mr. Moore, Frank Stewart, and there is Manny Tepper.
Les used to treat me for
right there
when I had a birthday.
Mm-hmm. I see. These are just
Joe Blessman.
That's a
photographer.
Heilman, News Murphy, Gazette. Scott Tyler. Now he was another News Gazette man. Mm-hmm. Curry. And Mrs. Boyd.
There's Mrs. Boyd.
Yeah, there she is. Mm-hmm. Martin and Margie. Now there's
that's Margie Winnie.
Margie Winnie. And there's Russ Goodman, wasn't it?
Yep. Willard Goodman.
Willard Goodman. Mm-hmm. Willard Goodman.
You know, Cy Bain.
Cy Bain. Mr. Finrod. Mary Maloney. Ross Mills. Mary Jordan. Oh, boy, that slips my memory. And there's Mr. Hurd.
Mayor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Art Lewis, he run the clothing store. Lloyd Arnold, Frank Cogdell, Jack Howard. Jack there's Howard.
Jack Howard was with the Association of Commerce during the war, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And he was secretary.
Carl. Mr. Jeter. He was
Jeter.
Jeter.
He's a snake catcher. Yeah. He caught the snake.
Yeah. And there's Mr. Shaft.
Morris Shaft.
Morris Shaft.
Roy Taylor, he was
News
Gazette reporter.
Or Delavue, Lyons. I don't know who that would be. Lyons. And there's Duffield and Bilotti.
Bill Bilotti.
Yeah.
And what was her name? Pete.
Pete, yeah.
Well, I
and
tell
Bill
you.
Died just last winter. Is that right?
These books are going to be down here, and they will be open to your inspection at any time, so all the secrets of the chickens come home to roost now
are laid bare. I want to tell you one thing.
That's what I thought. Yes.
If I may.
Yes.
I was president of the Association of Commerce for 2 years. I had 3 secretaries during that time, and didn't have a secretary half the time. That was during the war.
What do you expect for $8 a week?
We pay that much.
Hard to work with.
That's more than I got.
Well, you know, we're going to, of course, have these books here, just like we have the Chamber of Commerce scrapbooks, I think, except for the last one, isn't it? I think you still have the most recent scrapbook. And these are here anytime you want to come see them, and anytime any of you, if you want to part with some of these pictures, or if not, you know, if we could even Xerox some of these pictures and add to
these
our
these pictures
file.
That I brought are yours.
I see. Well, thank you very much. And so this will all be in the Chickens Come Home to Roost file. So, for posterity, and we now have our tape, and I think it's refreshment time.
Did you get any coffee?
Not yet, but that's coming up next, and if the one pot may have to heat a little bit because we can't make coffee like Ray said, but you're all welcome to stay for refreshments.
Just a second.